All right, we're going to talk today about an important subject that sometimes we sometimes can take for granted. Maybe we forget about it. Maybe it's not something that we're accustomed to doing. But the title of the message is Believe and Be Baptized. See that? I was emphasizing the B's there. But anyway, you guys didn't enjoy it as good as I did. And we're going to unravel the mystery of water baptism a little bit. We talked about this last year again, but I wanted to share this again because I know we've had some interest and some people wanting to be water baptized. And, you know, it's more than just some sort of ritual that a church goes through. Some denominations do it differently. I myself was raised as a Methodist. I was probably sprinkled. They probably should have held me down back then. I don't know if they did that, but I don't know what their custom is. You know, that's what happened to me. And then after I accepted Jesus Christ, which I'm going to go into a little bit today, then I was immersed in water. Now, it's a spiritual thing more than just being dunked or held down or whatever the case may be. I believe water baptism can be both a connect point and a release point. What I mean by that, the connect point, it's a time that we can identify with the concept of how Jesus Christ and what He did for us and what He took our place, and we can identify and be connected with Him, but also a release point where we can get rid of the old life. It's a time where we say that, yes, I'm telling the whole world that I have become a Christian, that I've chosen to follow Christ in obedience to Him. And, you know, so that's the powerful part of what water baptism is. And I think somewhat it closes the back door to the devil. You know, most of us have a back door in the house. And sometimes we may not maintain that back door. And I believe sometimes we have a spiritual back door. And that back door is something that we need to be careful of, because the enemy is always trying to slip into our life to try to activate that old nature that we have in order to pull us back into the old ways. And that's the pull of the world, and it's kind of like gravity. Gravity is good because it's here. It keeps us from flying off the planet. How many are glad about that? But also it keeps us from flying, though, is the drawback, and I believe that God wants us to fly. Scripture we're going to look at today, starting off, we're going to look at a few just to prove the point. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Apostle Peter, remember he was kind of a talker and, you know, he'd always get in trouble because he'd talk too much, but when he got full of the Holy Ghost and God started to turn his life around, then he started to really make a lot of good points, and here's one of the good points right here. He said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the unction and the anointing to be here today, Lord. We thank You that we cry out to You. We hunger that You do send Your rain in our life, Lord. We thank You for the impartation of Your Spirit to be in each and every person today. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are the teacher, You're the revealer. You're the one that brings things to light that we need to see. Lord, I yield to the gift You give me. I use it for Your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The first thing we're going to look at is the word baptizo. Baptizo or baptizo. Depends how you want to pronounce it. Now, what it talks about is the word baptize or baptizo is to dip or submerge like you dip a ladle in water. And really that's kind of what it is to be water baptized. And it looks, and if you really think about some of this stuff, you know, it can really be kind of confusing in the sense that how doing something just like allowing yourself to be immersed in water and come out as a spiritual thing. But I'll answer that when you can tell me how a black cow can eat green grass and make white milk. Amen? There's a lot of confusing things in this world that we may not get our head around, but we have to accept them by faith. You know, it reminds me of a story I read the other day about this guy that was drunk, highly intoxicated, stumbled upon a baptismal service. So he staggered out into the water and walked up to the pastor, and the pastor asked him if he wanted to be baptized, and the drunk said yes. So the pastor grabbed him and, you know, baptized him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and put him down and brought him back up, and he said, "Did you find Jesus?" The drunk said no. So the pastor grabbed him again and baptized him again, put him down in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and brought him back up. And he said, "Did you find Jesus?" And the drunk says, "No." Pastor was getting a little frustrated, so he grabbed him again. He held him down, this time for 30 seconds. Brought him, and he baptized him, and he brought him back out of the water. And he asked the drunk, he says, "Did you find Jesus?" And the drunk was kind of out of breath, and he says, "Are you sure this is where he went in?" You know, those things kind of confuse us sometimes, but, you know, they kind of happen. You know, I don't believe you have to hold people down a long time to get it right. But anyway, evidently that was one of those deals. Now, baptism, I just want to clarify, is a special thing, and it's only reserved for a believing Christian. Now, some people get baptized out of sequence, and it's important that we keep a sequential order in our life if we're going to follow God. And like I mentioned, sometimes people get baptized as a young child because it's cool, or their friends are doing it. Or maybe they think that, that's something, that's how they get initiated into the church. And we're going to explore and unravel some of those thoughts today, just so we have a little better understanding. What true baptism is all about is the fact that it's an outward sign of an inward work that God has done in our life. You know, we're telling the world that I've surrendered my life to Christ and I choose to be a follower of Christ. I want to become a Christian. And I have become a Christian. Now, Matthew 19:13, you know, we dedicate kids. You know, children were brought to Jesus and laid hands on them, and he prayed for them, and the blessing is a dedication to God. So when we have young children, we pray over them as Jesus did and dedicate them to the life of God. Now, water baptism, how it really started, we went into this before a time or two, but, you know, infant baptism, it started in the 400s. And the church viewed baptism as being brought into the body of Christ, and they wanted to bring the babies in. Now, back at that time, infant mortality was very high. A lot of babies did not live very long. So they had the right heart, but the wrong theology in really what they did. Their heart was to get kids into the church, and they didn't want them to die in their sins. So they thought it was good to baptize the baby. Also, back at this day, a lot of pagan or satanic worshipers would take babies, and it was a big thing for them to be able to offer up an innocent life and to shed their blood. And so they were being stolen from parents, Christian parents especially, and offered up to the devil and things like this to some degree. And, you know, so all these things were going on. So the church had a bright idea. Well, we'll just baptize them real quick and get them into the church. And like I say, it was a good idea, but yet what it did, it wasn't sequentially right in the sense that, you know, the kid had not, you know, accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. I believe there's other scriptures, we won't go into that today, about the age of accountability, that if a baby dies without, you know, choosing willfully to sin, you know, I believe all babies go to heaven and things like that. But there is a few scriptures that substantiate that. I believe God's a good God, and I believe he wants everybody to have a chance, especially babies. As I mentioned, I was baptized as a baby and probably sprinkled. And as I've always said, you know, my parents probably looked at it as some sort of an exorcism, you know, in my life, because I was a little bit rowdy to some degree. I know when I got older, you know, I was hard to handle. And I know that for whatever reason. I remember my parents told me the story that, you know, my dad, they lived in a little trailer up by my grandma and grandpa's house, and, you know, and they pulled that trailer in there, and they needed a yard for me to play in, so dad started to build a fence in front of the house there to tie in a little spot to kind of hem me in a little bit. Everything was all fine until he hung the gate. As soon as he hung the gate, I climbed the fence and got out. You know, I didn't bother the fence until he put the gate on. I'm not big on gates, you know what I'm saying? I like a little bit of freedom and some things, but, you know, that's just me. Now, do we have to be baptized to be saved? This is a question that people argue about. Some churches get real mad about it. You know, I'm going to look at Scripture and you can decide for yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11 to 17 says, "For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, for Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, I of Cephas, I of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none other except of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that none of you would say you were baptized in my name. Now I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized any other, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross would be made void, the cross of Christ be made void. Now, Paul was one of the greatest architects of the early church, wrote much of the New Testament. He started off being a persecutor of the church. We know that God got a hold of him on the road to Damascus, and his life was totally turned around and changed, so that with the same fervor that he started to attack the church, with even more fervor, he started to build the church. And with that, he says here that, you know, if water baptism was very important, Paul would have been about that. You know what I mean? But here he said, you know, because it's something that we do in obedience, so we're not baptized. You know, some people are baptized into the Methodist church or baptized into the Catholic church or into those churches. And that's all fine. They got the rules and regulations, and that's all dandy. But primarily, we just first need to be born again. We need to repent of our sins and come to Christ. And then we follow in obedience to baptism and as that outward sign so that we understand. And we're going to go into that a little bit more. Now, if we say that baptism saves us, then that's something that we can do as a work of our flesh to be able to save us from our sins. That takes away from the cross of Christ. We can allow nothing in our walk with God, no matter how much we can do, what kind of performance we think that we can do, to take away from the cross of Jesus Christ and what he did, the sacrifice that he made. He paid in full. There's nothing else we do. So, no, you do not have to be water baptized to be saved, because if that's the case, it does take away from that. Now, what happens, though, you can make it to heaven without being water baptized, but you're going to miss out on something. Something that Jesus Christ laid out for us in the Word that is going to help you to walk in a greater level of victory on this earth. If anything that the body of Christ is lacking on this planet is that many believers are not walking in victory. God wants us to walk in victory. He died so that we could have that abundant life. And I believe that we need to be able to grab a hold of everything in the Word that he has for us. So why be baptized? You know, Matthew 28:19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So here we see it's an obedience issue. It's obedience. Jesus says, go make disciples and baptize them. So he just didn't say that just because it was a great suggestion. It's really the Great Commission, and that's something that the church needs to walk in obedience to. And we need to follow him in obedience in everything that we do. I believe the highest form of worship is for Jesus. You know, some of you all got some good voices and patty cake with the best of them, can't you? You got all kinds of rhythm. I have none. But really, the highest form of worship is obedience. When we walk in obedience to our King and our Master and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he's purchased for us and what we do. Jesus Christ himself allowed himself to be water baptized by John. Jesus was greater than John. Jesus, he was the God-man. He was the Son of God who emptied himself and came down and walked as a man, but yet he allowed himself to be water baptized. And when he was baptized, it says that the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to him. So here we see that Jesus Christ himself was baptized. So I don't want to say this wrong, but who are we to think that we shouldn't be if he chose to do that himself? So we need to follow him in that obedience. As we look at it, you know, a couple questions I want to ask is, what does it mean if we willfully choose not to follow one of Jesus' orders? For those of you who wasn't here last week, we answered that. What happens when we sin willfully? You know, there is forgiveness in Christ, amen. But I believe that, you know, we need to try to follow. And then also, what happens if we willfully choose to follow one of Jesus' orders? Well, what I see is the blessing of obedience compared to the curse of disobedience. You know, when we choose to have rebellion in our heart and we choose to say, now I know that some people don't like to maybe, you know, they feel uncomfortable getting in front of people and things like that. And, you know, we don't have several hundred people at our water baptisms. I would love to, but it just don't work like that, you know. Mainly you just do it and you follow Jesus and you're going to start to get that blessing. I know some people that, you know, had some issues with water and things, you know, but nevertheless, I believe that for you who maybe has some reservations or maybe a fear level of water baptism, I believe for you there's going to be a greater blessing. Because anything that we do that we're, you know, obedience means that we're doing something that maybe we don't feel comfortable with all the time. And when we choose to leave our comfort zone and step into that realm where we walk in obedience, saying, Lord Jesus, I'm just doing this in obedience to do my flesh. It doesn't want to do this. As a matter of fact, the devil doesn't want you to get water baptized. He's going to try to talk you out of it. He's going to say that you don't need to do that. He's saying, you know, all these lies to you, trying to hold you back because he knows that it's a weapon, you know, that you can use against him. You know, as a Christian, you know, God has called us to fear him, not to be afraid of him, that we can't go to him. Like sometimes we're afraid to go to somebody. Like some fathers are mean, you know, and unnerving, and we don't feel like going to them. But what we talk about fear of God, it means that we're honoring and giving reverence to him. And when we do that, there is a severe blessing on the other side of that step of faith. And if it's not really a big deal to us, then, you know, then it's maybe not as big a blessing. So as we do water baptism, it's that public expression. What I usually do, and you don't have to say anything, but I want to give you an opportunity. I encourage everybody to say at least one little thing, like thank Jesus for saving me or something like that. You know, it's a time to say something and tell the world, I thank God I'm a Christian, that he saved me from my sins. And then in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name, I dip you. Amen. I give you an opportunity to plug your nose. I grab a hold. I let you down, and I give you a little help back up. And after I help you a little bit, you're on your own. Amen? You know? Sink or swim deal. No, you'll be all right. It's not over your head. But, so we do that. It's that public expression. You know, in other cultures, it's a big decision. We've preached in other cultures where when somebody came to Christ, it was a symbol that their family was going to cut them out of the will, if you know what I'm saying. You know, they were mad because they were part of some religion, not a God-honoring religion. And when the ones that we met that had converted to Christ had come to Christ, and we had revealed to them about water baptism, and they chose to follow him in that, by that act, that statement, they no longer were saying, I'm a secret Christian. It's no longer a secret. I want to come out. I want to tell everybody who I really am. I'm a follower of Christ. And when they do that, sometimes, you know, they would be, you know, ostracized from other family members and things, at least for a while. Now, what are the benefits of water baptism, which we wanted to get to? A couple scriptures. First one is 1 Peter 3:21. It says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. What? I thought, Pastor Brad, you said it didn't save me. Well, let's look see what it saves us from. It says, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, what it saves, it helps our conscience, because some people work better with pictures than in instructions. Amen? Just the way it is. You know, I hate to read through all the instructions. If I just look at the picture, I can cut through a lot of red tape. You know what I'm saying? When I'm putting something together I've never done before. How many guys have done that, you know? How many guys never even look at the instructions? Just go, that's right, that's right. Well, what it does is when we are water baptized, it'll leave a picture. I can still remember the evening. It was at the 6 o'clock service at Happy Church in Denver, Colorado. R.W. Schombach was just going to preach after the water baptism. That was a special night for me. He was one of my favorite preachers. You know, he was a goer. And, you know, before he preached, so there was a crowd, man. Everybody's fighting for a seat. So they got there early, and we had the water baptism, where I was able to give a small little testimony, and I chose to do so. They didn't make me, but I wanted to just tell that Jesus Christ and what he'd done for my life. And then they baptized me. I still remember that to this day. So nobody can tell me that I never chose to follow Christ in obedience, because I still have that picture. And I also know the idea of the appeal for conscience, because, you know, I know what it's like to start out. I've been saved over 30 years, because I'll be honest, I forgot some of those feelings, because I don't struggle with some of those anymore. I don't wake up someday and wonder if I'm saved. I haven't had to struggle with that for quite some time. But I know what it's like to start out. I remember in those early days of what it felt like. That sometimes before I had the right understanding from Christ of what it meant to be a follower of Christ and what it took to be a Christian, that, you know, I would wake up sometimes and I just didn't feel saved. I would walk around just wondering, am I really saved? You know? Surely it has to be more than this little prayer I prayed. So those struggles. But when I chose to follow in obedience to water baptism, those struggles went away. Because I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ saved my soul. And he's in the process of still saving it. My spirit was saved instantaneously, because that's who I really am. And my soul is in the process of salvation. Because in our conscience is where the enemy attacks us. You know, after you first get saved and then you're on fire, you're excited, you're just in that love walk, and all of a sudden you fall, do something stupid, say something stupid, then you feel bad. So the enemy comes in, I told you didn't get nothing. See, he's a liar. So we have to use everything we can to be able to combat that so that we can walk in victory. That's why Jesus came. He came so we could walk in that power. He wants us to know that we know that we know. He doesn't want us to just keep waking up and wondering if we're going to make it to heaven or not. That shouldn't even be an issue anymore. Our issue should be how many people we're going to see get saved today, or how many people is going to get healed or the devil cast out of them. Amen? That's really what we should be concerned about each day when we wake up. How many people am I going to be a blessing to today? We shouldn't worry about our salvation. That's not something he wants us to be concerned about. Jesus paid that price. Because as we do that, our conscience gets free from that old life. And to be honest, as we all know, there's nothing in that old life. If there was something there, then why did I leave it to follow Christ? Think about that. But nevertheless, the enemy keeps saying, hey, come on back, it's all good. But there's nothing there. There's no life. Next scripture, Romans 6, 3-7. And this really explains a little bit more of the picture of what we want to see today of water baptism. It says, or do you not know now that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus and have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of God the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, here's the key, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. See, that's the key. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. So there we see the picture of us. When we go down into the water, it's a symbol, and it's a revelation that we receive that we have died with him. When Jesus went into the grave, everybody thought it was over. The disciples were bumming, man. How would you like to follow somebody? Give up, quit your jobs, and follow, and get all kinds of persecution saying he is the way. Then he died. Looked like defeat. See, we have the benefit of having the whole book. You know what I'm saying? to us, oh yeah, we know he's coming back, man. They didn't know that. They heard it, but they hadn't really sunk in totally. So then he died, but then he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead, that resurrection life, so that when you're water baptized and you go down into the water, it's a symbol of his death and his burial. But when you come up out of the water, it's a symbol of that resurrection life. It's the life of Christ that is now living inside of us, that new life, the life that only he could give. No matter how many times we tried to reform or change ourselves, it never works. But Jesus Christ came to give us that new life. So what water baptism is, it's an outward sign of that inner work, as that death, burial, and resurrection. And as we rise up, then we need to learn the concept of dying to sin. Sin doesn't die to us. There's still sin out there. I mean, we have opportunities every day to fall. But by knowing that the old life was put to death, we can say, I died to that sin. That sin no longer has power over me. And you can fill in the blank of what you struggle with. And it has no more power over you because you died to that sin. And that's the power that Jesus Christ came to give. So what I see is water baptism is not just some little ritual that the church does to be cool, to be different from the world, but it's actually a weapon in our arsenal, in our fight against the enemy, in what Jesus Christ wants us to understand so that we can fight back and we can walk in that power. So as we do it, we know that it helps us to make that deeper commitment. You know, you may have already made that in your heart and your mind, but it's just a way of living that commitment out to the world so all the world can see. As I mentioned earlier, it's a connect point and a release point. So it's a connect point in the sense where, you know, I can connect to God in a deeper way. And we can, and then a release point where we can release our faith when we come out of the water that, you know, I'm never going to be the same. You know, it's a spiritual experience. And we can give Satan notice that the old man or the old life will be in the grave or that pool of water or wherever you leave him. And it tells the testimony to the world that, you know, I have died to sin and the newness of life is living inside of me and through Christ Jesus. And so to me, and I don't want to pressure anybody too much, although you probably, some of you might feel pressure right now. You know, I don't want to pressure. But to me, it's not an issue of should I be water baptized by immersion, but, you know, when can I? I'm glad you asked. Next Sunday at 2 p.m., we have an opportunity that you can follow the Lord in obedience and to be water baptized, where you can follow him and release your faith and to tell the world that I've decided to follow Jesus and to be, you know, and to be that, be walk in that obedience as we believe and be baptized. So we have to have that sequential order. Now, maybe you were baptized as a baby or as a little kid, and you hadn't really believed yet. You haven't, you know. So to be a Christian, we all know you repent, you meaning turn from your sins, and then you believe. Is you believe in him and believe that he died and rose again and that he took your sins, that you give your life to him. To me, I kind of believe in, you know, I like to stress the point of the concept of making Jesus Lord. You know, some people make him Savior, you know, but I like to make him Lord because I know he saved me and that's good, but I want to make him my Lord, my Master, the ruler of my life. And, you know, sometimes that's progressive as we walk with him. So I encourage you to take that step. So if you feel the Holy Spirit touching your heart, and we want to help you to be all you can in Christ, that's one of the main goals of our church, is to help you to become, you know, the strongest Christian that you can be. And this is one step on that journey. Let's pray.